Hey man, how's it going?
I'm good. Yourself?
Oh man, I couldn't be better. Just chilling, sitting at home, out of my art studio, just relaxing right now. So, all right, why don't we get started and, start telling people, I guess introduction, who we are and what we're trying to do here now. I'll let you take the
Welcome to
stage.
our podcast. Welcome to our podcast. We haven't had gotten a name for it yet, but we'll have it by the time we launch it. So my name's you and I started racing together back in 2012, I guess. So
Oh my gosh.
we've been at this for a bit, this bike racing, bike riding stuff. I started riding in 2009. I did my first national team trip in 2011, and just beating around racing bikes. And now I'm currently racing with Legion of Los Angeles, so that's been experience I didn't actually ever think that, I couldn't have seen myself in this situation maybe back then, or even 3 years ago. And man, I could not be more grateful for the opportunity that I've gotten to be part of this team.
That's awesome.
A lot of like hard times led up to this situation, but it was definitely worth it, and I got steered here, by fate, hopefully. I don't know. It's pretty crazy. I wouldn't have guessed that I'd be here, but I couldn't be happier to be in the situation I'm in, considering the times especially. So,
Yeah, it's
we're
pretty crazy. No, man, I'm so excited. I can't wait to start this podcast. You contacted me a few months ago with the idea, and like you said, me and you go back forever ago. I mean, racing against each other when we were like 15, 16 at nationals or whatever, and then joining forces as a national team, in 2012, and then, continuing that legacy and going to BMC development team and, being together for a few years there. And so, I mean, me and you have definitely been through a ton of ups and downs. And like I said, when you sent me that message to be like, hey man, you interested in doing a podcast? Definitely, having that other co-host is very important. And having someone that you've gone through a lot, I feel like you can talk about a lot of experiences, a lot of stories. You can bring on a lot of guests, a lot of people you know. Me and you have a lot of the same acquaintances, a lot of friends. So I think that this is a super cool opportunity. I don't, I think me and you are at almost opposite sides of the cycling spectrum, which is super exciting, and is going to be refreshing for us to talk about. We'll get into a lot of different episodes talking about, basically our polar opposites right now, with you racing still super competitively, racing for a high-end team, and where I am, going out, riding with the bike trailer with my daughter and, chilling and riding the gravel and just kicking it, And so I think there's a lot of cool aspects and a lot of cool things we'll have the opportunity to talk to a lot of people about. And so, I mean, I feel
Well,
like
tell them about, so for those people who don't know, the TJ of today is not the TJ that I grew up racing with, actually.
Yeah, that's
Tell
actually
them
the cool.
about your project, like how it's evolved into Imaginary Collective, and then, TJ, he didn't used to be necessarily this happy-go-lucky fella. He is one of the more intense competitors I ever raced with and against.
Yeah, it hits me hard sometimes. They'll definitely, I can You can feel that. You definitely know that you've changed. And me and you kind of said, like, you said like, oh, things never change when you drink coffee. And I was like, oh, compared to me, things changed drastically. And that just right now it's just focusing on, the good vibes, the kind of the positive culture, the good, of the sport, the cycling sport. So our brand slash cycling team is called Imaginary Collective. And basically, if you break apart the name, it says it all. So imaginary, we want to keep people imagining and pushing forward with creativity and, thinking forward and not just thinking about, aero, power, lightweight, stripped down carbon. We want to push, artistry in cycling again. We want to push, fun things within the sport. And we realize that there needs to be both sides. There needs to be the competitive side, and there needs to be this relaxed side. And this relaxed side is more for the gravel culture and for, you know, kind of the everyday person who just can feel that feeling of why they love to ride the bike, where not everyone can experience the feeling of winning a bike race, you know, even a local bike race, not everyone can experience that. So this is, you know, I'm trying to just reach everyone, I guess. And it's just with those good vibes. And it definitely, like you said, is almost polar opposite compared to how me and you grew up. I grew up, you know, with you, and just purely, I felt like an animal racing, you know, just
one of the more focused guys in the, you know, the younger years and through U23s.
That's so crazy to hear you say that. That, yeah. Like, just because, again, it's like, to me now, it's just, it's not, I can't even, I mean, I know how focused I was, and I know how, you know, dedicated I was and pushing it and everything. And I mean, maybe I just got burned out. Maybe I turned a switch, or maybe, I don't know what happened, but it was just like, I mean, I can't even do that now. Like, I can't even turn on that switch anymore. I think I'm just now too mellow and relaxed that, like, I can't legitimately suffer as much as I did then, or like push that dedication. I can't do it anymore. No matter how much I want to, or like would, it just is like there's a different switch turned on in my mind that's now focused on like looking around, seeing the colors, seeing the beauty, and kind of just riding the bike. And so it definitely is bizarre, you know, and it's funny hearing you say that. And it's even funny, like, as I drive around and you're driving, like, all those old long canyon climbs that you used to, you know, set all these KOMs up, or, you oh, know, yeah, like, your power.
TJ up there, Strava, like, animal. No, I remember. Yeah.
Like, now you're just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I did that. You're like, wow, that's nuts. Like, you're like, I would ride that climb 4 times. You're just like, now you're just like, I would do it once, chill at the reservoir at the top and relax, you know? So it's definitely, I'm super excited to talk more about that with more episodes to come, and, you know, go more deep into, you know, definitely our background and go into our different stories. And so people can definitely hear and the difference, you know, and, hear what we're doing. And, but, you know, definitely I'd love to hear a lot about Legion, you know, with right now, with what's going on. I feel like, you know, with me starting Imaginary Collective, you going to Legion, not a lot of people know what Legion is. So we'll have you talk about it here. But one thing I want to say is I feel like the cycling world is kind of at a state, you know, of, you know, freedom, or not freedom, but like wild, wild west setup, where it's like, there's no UCI, there's no rules right now, because it's all online racing, or, you know, no racing. It's just being at home kicking it, you know? So I feel like that kind of gives this really, you know, unique approach to the future. Like, you know, a team like Legion, or even a company like mine, Imaginary Collective, to actually truly make a statement in the cycling world. What are your, you know, tell us what Legion is. And then I would love to hear your thoughts on kind of that.
Yeah. So Legion is, team ran by Justin Williams. He started it. It's not a very old team at all, actually. It's barely over a year old now, and it's already become, you know, one of the most popular domestic teams in the country. It's definitely a crit focused team. Justin and Corey, probably two of the best crit racers in history, so that's the focus of the team. But, you know, it's branching out into more road racing stuff. We were planning on doing some gravel racing as well this year. It's a race team, but it's a race team. We definitely go about it a little bit. The structure is a lot different, in the sense that, you know, it's trying to, we definitely focus on more of like a mainstream attitude, less of like your typical cycling attitude, I guess. You know, Justin and Corey both from LA, and they have that culture. And I think Legion is about, you know, it has a culture. It has like that attitude. And I think that's why it's so successful so early. At the same time, I came into it with my background in Europe and in racing, and with Israel Cycling Academy, and before that, Action and BMC. So I bring my own culture to the team, which is, I've done a lot of different things in cycling, but the reason that works, I think, for me, Corey and Justin, especially working together, is we all have the same passion for the sport. And I think that like our passion just for loving cycling and loving bike racing is why we work really well together. They respect my point of view on a lot of things. They see things much differently than I would have ever seen them. And they've opened my eyes to a lot of different things. And I think vice versa, I can give my experiences from being some of the teams that I've been in and how that can help make the team more successful. And on top of that, the way our skill sets all kind of gel together should be, you know, unfortunately our season has been postponed, so we didn't really get to see what the result was going to be of that, but I think it's going to be one of the most nasty lead out trains that's ever been created in American kart racing for sure. So we will get to do that at some point. In the meantime, you know, I think our team is positioned in a way to where while this pandemic and all these cancellations are very frustrating, because I think we were already going to be on some really good momentum just with building up the team, the way the team is structured around media and culture, the results are secondary for us.
You guys, it seems like with this still going on, everybody knows a lot now these days. It's all about content, but you guys have, I feel like continued to grow with the pandemic, which is not a lot of people can say, you know, not a lot of businesses, not a lot of teams, I doubt any world tour teams have grown in their.
And I have following. To give the credit to that, to Justin and Corey. I mean, their vision for where they want to see the team is and how they've built it is put the organization in a position to where we can continue to position ourselves to come off of this stronger than a lot of teams. You know, I can't take much credit for that other than the fact that I'm cheering them along and I'm doing my best to create my own content, which is not my specialty. But we're working hard to make sure that we continue to grow the vision of the team. And then, you know, we'll get back to bike racing. That's going to come. We're virtually racing right now on Zwift. So, you know, we're getting that competitive juice, competitive spirit out there. And, you know, Corey and Justin are both fierce competitors. And so like we all kind of need that. And that's how we've been doing it now. And then once the racing resumes, I think we're going to be in hopefully a really good position.
Man, I love it. I think when I heard that you were going to go to Legion, I was super excited just because strangely enough, like for someone who's not a big fan of like the like high-end racing scene right now, you know, I'm a massive fan of Legion. You know, I love the way you guys are set up. I love the jerseys. I love the clean look of everything. I love the detail to the social media pages. Corey and Justin do a great job with, you know, the content and the videos. And then, you know, to finish it off, it's not just about content and, you know, looking good on social media, but you guys actually are getting the job done. You know, I saw early on at some of those early some NorCal and SoCal racing, like January and February, you guys did. And you guys crushed it. One, you know, Corey and Justin going up against like Elevate going 1-2-3, which is like a actual UCI, like what? Like, are you guys UCI right now?
We're domestic elite. Technically an amateur team. Yeah. But I mean,
it's
an amateur team full of pros. So, you know, the UCI label, you know, until you get up to the Pro Conti and the World Tour teams, like Continental team and an elite amateur team, there is not a whole lot of difference besides the label and what your license says. So, you know, Legion, we'll see what happens with that for next year. But, you know, the bike race is the bike race and no one cares what your license says at that point. So
I've always found it hilarious. Well, just funny and like hilarious with the groupings of these, you know, Conti, Pro Conti and World Tour, because I mean, just like you guys showed, like here you have people who are racing on a Conti or Pro Conti team and you're beating them. you know, or it's like Justin and them beating all of them last year at all the USA crits, you know, even beating our team, the Hincapie team, you know, they like, there's not, you know, and even going to Tour of Utah, for, you know, you'd race with all these different levels of people, you're racing the same race, but yet you're different levels. So I always find it kind of funny. And I always think it's like, I think there's gonna in the future be a better way to like group things. And I think it's just, I like it. I like seeing you guys not being part of the group, but yet beating the group, you know? Yeah,
no, it's that we're trying to blaze our own trail and do it our way. So far it's working.
So what were your, like, that's a pretty crazy difference. I mean, this is just me like thinking, but like you came from, we were on BMC together, which was an all European schedule and living in Europe basically all year. And then you went to Action for 2 years, racing big races there. And then went to Israeli, which is now a World Tour team. But basically was a World Tour team since it existed, because it did, I would say, all the same races and, you know, just as many, you know, as any World Tour schedule. And so what was it like? Were you nervous coming to Legion? Were you, you know, leaving Israeli, you know, that's a pretty big jump difference. Like,
So, yeah, so when I was not re-signed with Israel Cycling Academy, I'm in probably a similar position as you, felt kind of very burnt on the sport. I didn't feel like it was right. I didn't feel like I was done right by cycling at that point. But one thing I never doubted was my love for the sport during that period. So I was really upset with my situation. In hindsight, I can blame myself for a lot of that stuff. I still think that there were some things that kind of went against me, but that's in the past now. But that was the end of 2018. So 2019, I didn't have a team, but I continued to train almost all the way through the winter. And, you know, I went and became an EMT in that period, and started working on an ambulance. And I guess it was about a year ago now. So it was about May when I started doing that.
Really? Yeah. That's crazy, man. Oh my gosh. That's so cool to hear.
But all the way through that, I was training nearly, you know, pretty good amount, you know, keeping up I kept my fitness well. You know, you build up over all these years, all this work to get to this physical ability. I didn't really ever want to let that go. So, because it goes away fast.
It's crazy how fast it does, dude. I mean, for someone who has, I feel like, it does, like, it goes quick, yeah, you know, and it's like, and like I said, the motivation to get it back,
it's hard,
is, it's impossible, because you're at such a level that, you know, once you drop from that level, you're not going to go back up. Like, it's just such a high level.
So that was one thing focused on trying to maintain was, I mean, obviously I can't maintain quite that same level, but I didn't want to let it all go. So I still wanted to race bikes, and so, you know, 2019,
Did you have a coach?
No, I started. Did you have a coach at that time? Myself, I've never had a hard
really
time being motivated to train. So, a lot of my training was just like getting beat down by Pete Sedna all winter before he'd go to the World Tour races. Then, you know, I'd prescribe myself my intervals, and I did the intervals that I always felt like worked for me from different coaches.
Wow, that's very impressive. That's what my next question is, like, whether or not you actually did intervals, or
did
you just follow whales?
No, I definitely did some intervals. I did the ones that I always liked to do, and I stopped doing the ones I didn't like to do. So for me, I always hated doing SFR intervals.
And, oh my gosh!
And
yeah,
I haven't done really many SFR intervals since 2018. But I've done a lot of, like, I was training hard. My goal last year was just to win as many races as I could, and I fell back in love with winning, and I like realized like what that kind of like took again. When I was a professional, I didn't win races because I was racing at this level where I was working for someone all the time. So it was never in my brain to like, how do I win a race? So I had to relearn that last year.
It's not your job.
I relearned that last year. And then, and I really just fell right back in love with like the racing aspect of it. And that was how, when Legion, kind of Justin and Corey and I had been talking almost since Redlands a year ago, about, you know, maybe let's do something together, blah, blah, blah. And then it came together at Boise. I flew out to Boise, met them, and it was as if I had fallen into the perfect situation, because I gelled not only with the guys off the bike, my role within the team, I fell straight into line in the lead out. And that race was one of the most perfectly executed races. Both, like, I know they said it was the best race they had had all year. It was one of the best. It was just so smooth the way we executed it. And I was like, wow. And then we had a great time the whole weekend. And I was just like, this is where I should be. So then after that, you know, we kept in touch, and I did San Rafael, and then we went 1-2 again. And I was like, mind you, Boise was my first ever big crit in my life.
Yeah, so massive Twilight.
I'd never crit. Done that, anything like that before. So it was completely new to me. But yeah, I mean, it just worked. And since then, you know, it's worked. And I'm, you know, so motivated to, like, be a part. I feel like the ownership that I get to have within the team keeps me extra motivated. I get to have a lot of my own ideas and, like, be able to be freely present them. And that helps. Yeah. That definitely helps me have a different mentality toward the team, but it just works. And it's obviously disappointing that we didn't get, like, the whole first half of this year to really dial it in. It started off great. I mean, Corey was flying out the gate. I had really good form coming out of the gate as well. We're missing out on a lot of big objectives, but, you know, the races will go on. We'll have more. So in the meantime, we're using this time to make sure that the team's in a good position coming off of this break.
Totally. Using it not as, you know, a crutch, but, you know, actually as a, you know, basically looking yourself in the mirror and seeing how you can improve, you know. Dude, I dig it. I'm so excited for you. I don't remember really ever hearing you this excited or motivated, especially on a team, you know. And it definitely, you know, I was going to ask, like, you know, if it sounds like you're definitely put more into that captain's role, you know, that captain to, like, maybe not in the crits, but definitely in those road races, or I don't know how, but it just sounds like, I don't know if they've given you kind of that more leadership role to kind of help guide people, because there's not many people who have your experience. So I don't know. So for everyone who doesn't know, Tyler, when he was on VMC, was second at Paris-Roubaix in the U23s, you know, which not a lot of Americans have done, you know, and then, like we said, went to Israeli and just did mad work in the classics, and, you know, just, you've done a lot of racing in Europe, and so they probably value that quite a lot.
Yeah, definitely. It's a role that, I mean, even when I was racing with the U23s, I kind of fell into, like, the road captain role. I was always kind of the guy that could kind of do every kind of race. So, like, you know, I went to Val d'Aosta and the Italian Alps with you 1 year, and then at that same time I was doing, you know, Flanders and Roubaix, and so it was a bit of a gift and a curse, that situation, because I could kind of do everything but nothing super well, but I got tons of experience out of all of that. So yeah, they definitely, you know, empower me to have my input and value it, and I think, you know, feeling valued is the most powerful thing that you can be given in a team, is just not feeling of, like, yeah, what I do and what I say matters. It's not something that you get in a lot of cycling teams. You're kind of like a cog in the wheel or a cog in the machine, and that's what
I think that's something me and you actually have a lot in common, and I've walked away from the top end of the sport saying that's what we missed, was that, just because I think both me and you also, you know, we've played our fair parts of doing the leader, like, I mean, the, like, you know, the domestic role or the teammate role. And, like, you know, sometimes, like, I remember on BMC, it was just like, when I was stagiaire, it was like, you do your job. And it was like that, there was no thank you or anything. I mean, and it was your job, but, like, you know, feeling that value and feeling that, and I think, you know, like you said, you feel that, it definitely helps you motivate and helps you want to push forward. And that's, I mean, I definitely apply that with Imaginary Collective every day, where my greatest, I get more joy, you know, coming up with an idea, giving it to, you know, someone else I'm working with, you know, and them taking it to a better height, right, you know, or returning it to me better than I planned it, you know. And that's it. That's motivation. That's, you know, trusting people. That's trusting, you know, that's inspiring. That's, and I think that then takes a lot of weight off your own shoulders, where, you know, people are stepping up wanting to do more rather just than, oh, I'm supposed to do this. People are motivated to push forward. So I dig it, man. I dig your program. I dig your team you're on. I think it's super cool. I'm super bummed the racing has slowed down, but this weekend it hasn't slowed down because you guys raced Redlands, which is a race I've won, but you guys kind of did it in a way a little bit different this year. I want to hear about that, because I was super interested. Me and you were originally going to do this podcast Friday, and we postponed it because I really wanted to talk about e-racing, and I wanted to talk about Zwift. I wanted to talk about, you know, with all these pros now not racing, they have to put all that energy and all that training somewhere, you know? And so everyone's doing e-racing right now. So why don't you
tell us about that? Yeah, so Zwift is hard. Let me tell you. I have set so many power records on Zwift in the last, like, 3 weeks. It is absolutely incredible.
Really?
That's this crazy. Weekend, like, I set my best ever hour of power on, like, Friday. I've done like a few like really high 20 minute powers and like racing some Tuesday night crits that we've been doing. It is something. There was a virtual Redlands. The manager of the manager of Project Echelon had been trying to get some like of the domestic elite teams and continental teams into like, you know, do some races. And he approached Justin with the virtual Redlands idea. And then I kind of took point as far as being the manager for that. So I got my first taste in being a team manager as a virtual race with Redlands. So I got to sit in on the manager's meeting, and, you know, it was, you know, man. There was a
manager's meeting for
everything. It's something.
Really?
So,
for everyone who doesn't know what a manager's meeting, that's where the managers go to, obviously a meeting, but the day before, usually a big race, usually a stage race or any race, I guess, to explain, you know, the rules of that race, you know, what's going to happen. They get the number, they usually draw for like your car number. So that's hilarious. Like, so, what? Explain how an e race.
Well,
works
because
like that,
obviously we're not all super familiar with the rules and what, you know, how they were going to go about it. So like that, we were dealing with like, okay, how are we going to verify weights of riders? Because let me tell you, Zwift is interesting with how many people are 60 kilos. Then also,
everyone's
man,
from Colombia and 60 oof, kilos.
It is rough out there. And then also, you know, like, so verifying the weights. We're kind of using like one of Zwift's like newer platforms as far as like how to create a race. And it's over my head of what was different about it. But so there was just like, you know, some like technical things that we had to discuss. And then also, you know, there was some, you know, just like, basically like here's your rosters and you know, just things like that. So it was good. It was max eight riders.
How many
team.
Could be on
I don't
it?
Think everyone filled up their team. We did fill up our team both days.
Who was
so
on
it was
team?
We had the two winners of Redlands since you, actually, Thomas Rivard and Corey Lockwood. And then we had myself,
wow,
Corey Williams, Lance Haydet, who's a current reigning U23 national champ for road race. Yeah,
I like Lance a lot.
Angel Munoz, and then I'm going to forget somebody and I'm going to feel bad about it. Hunter Grove. I'm sorry if I forget whoever else was. But, and Eder Freyer. one of our Mexican guys. He's a phenomenal climber. So we had a really good team. It would have been more or less like very close to the actual Redlands roster that we would have taken. Yeah, so we had 8 riders, and so the first day was Friday night, and it was a crit on the Zwift course, Crit City, and then Sunday was a road race around the London Loop, so like that had Box Hill in it, and yeah, I mean, so Zwift racing has been, you know, what we've been doing to get those competitive juices flowing, and get in some competition. And it's obviously, it's not what we're used to. It's not outdoor bike racing.
Yeah.
I think that those people who want to make it that, in my opinion, are like, that's not what it's designed to be. That's not the point.
That's not the point.
It is.
That's, yeah.
It is going to be not its the own point. Thing.
They're too. Yeah. I totally agree. I don't think the people who think one is going to replace the other are stupid. You know, I think that's a dumb fact, because you can't have one without the other, because they go hand in hand. Like, you know, they're just different things. One is online e-racing. That's like gaming type vibe that turns on that switch. And then the other is getting outside. And I mean, yeah, it's like,
I think we see, so
it, know, definitely
it's,
is.
It's got so its unique. Own feel and tactics to it. And we had a pretty steep learning curve, and Williams is doing a great job of really getting, he's so competitive that he was going to figure it out so that he could win, because that's how he operates. But you know, like, yeah, it's different. You don't see, you know, like, I'm sure if you put Formula One drivers against the actual Formula One drivers on the Formula One e-racing platform against the best e-racing Formula One guys, that probably get whooped. And so there was,
oh my gosh, that I never even honestly thought about that.
It's its own thing, but it's a great tool for us to get in some racing, totally, and provide some content and just some activities for us. B, it is an incredible workout. Yes. Workout. So the stimulation that you get from it,
I couldn't agree
is
more.
Totally, you know, worthwhile, and is something that I will absolutely incorporate into my training routines from now on, just because, I mean,
there's nothing that beats it. You can't go back to just riding a trainer in the garage anymore.
But also just like the fact that you can get in a race, a full on super hard race effort, by just hopping on your trainer and racing people around from around the world whenever you want, essentially at your fingertips. That is a wonderful tool for any bike racer. So we got to, you know, I can hop on a race and get, like, you know, just like throw like some nerdy numbers, like, you know, the crit that we did, I had like 380 average power for an hour. Like, I'm not going to go do that on
what?
I'm not going to go do 380? That right now.
Oh my, yo, so, totally not. Totally, yeah. That's so insane, you can, man. 380.
You can do
these kinds of
things on this platform. So yeah, so then the idea of getting Redlands to go, we had most of the domestic elite teams. There was one pro Zwift team, and then, you know, we were there, and yeah, it was hard. I mean, like I said, I did 380 for an hour, and I was fourth on the crit day.
Wow.
Corey was second.
Oh my. Could you feel that, like, you know, you said you're a manager, you manage the meeting, you have teammates. So how do you use like actual tactics in a race like that when you're not there? You know what I mean? It's like, it's hard to tell, like with the lead out, it's all about that feeling and, like, you know, the people around you, the feeling you have, everything. And you can feel, like, with e-racing, right, you can't feel that person behind you or in front of you, or you can't feel if they need to pick it up, or, you know what I mean? It's all
so
straight in front of you. You know, it's what you see is what you get. So how do you, yeah, what do you tell us?
We definitely had a
tactics. Tell us,
we had a meeting prior to the start, that I ran with in kind of conjunction with Corey. And yeah, like a Zoom call,
FaceTime or Zoom. What is?
And we have, you know, have Etter, super strong climber, and because Zwift relies so much on watts per kilo, you know, it was a similar tactic that we would have really used in a real race. You know, it was like save me kind of for the moves late. Etter, like kind of like have fun, go for it, like, but make sure you're in a group that you can win out of. And then, you know, Corey was saved more pretty exclusively for the sprint. And then Lance was kind of helping, yeah, like with just like covering some stuff. And yeah, okay, it's different. you can't make it real bike racing. So like, yeah, you know, it's a little more of an individual sport because the lead out helps, but it doesn't at the same time. So the one mistake, yeah, that Corey and I did was on the last lap, I asked him, I was like, hey, do you think that I should go from the top of the hill, which is like 1K to go on this course? And I was feeling pretty good. And I probably, he was like, no, let's just save it for the sprint. And I was like, okay, like, no. So we were actually
messaging, or are you guys on?
He and I together. Yeah.
Oh my, this is crazy. I'm loving this. Yeah. I'm loving this imagery right now. Keep it up, man.
You know, Corey and I are both super competitive, so we wanted to do well. And he and I, I'm so excited for the future with him because I think he and I will make quite the duo, just because how our skill sets kind of go together.
Oh, yeah.
So even on Zwift, it's kind of working out pretty well for us. But this was a mistake, was I should have just gone from the top of the climb and made it really, really hard because one of the Zwift pros is like an excellent sprinter, like on Zwift, like incredible the power he does on a trainer. So, I waited for the sprint and then we both basically got like, I kind of ended up leading it out and I just got my doors blown off and Corey was there. But that one Zwift sprinter he smoked everybody. So, that was like our mistake though, was I should have, you know, we're learning this. So I probably should have gone from the top of that hill and I waited.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got its own tactics. I mean, it's got its own feel. There's its own little things that you know, all the skills that, you know, Corey and Justin have developed on the road. Everyone's seen their YouTube videos of them shooting gaps in a group or how efficient they are.
You can't do that.
And the Zwift has its own way of being efficient. You just have to figure it out. So, I mean,
really?
Those guys did way less. Like those Zwift pros did way less watts per kilo than us and way less power than we did.
Is it just from using
there was no power ups. Like, there was
those,
no
like,
power ups.
Amp things or
so,
those no power.
No, they're just smarter than us, I think.
That is so crazy that you could. I mean, me and you have been racing and have been in the sport for our whole life, basically. I mean, we've done it long enough to have it actually change into our DNA structure. You know, like it's if we don't go out and ride our bike. I mean, I was talking to my wife last night about this, like. It's just my body now. Like, yeah. I have to ride. Like, and I, you know, it's like not a lot of people can understand that, but it's what happens when you do something for so long. Your body just, I mean, I guess anything. You drink coffee your whole life. You don't do it for a day. You feel off, you know?
You're having to relearn a different way of
bike
racing.
So wild
and
to.
We're definitely working on it.
Do you have any examples? Like, I don't know, like, that's such a wild thing to me is just like, again, I mean, and you said it like best, like you can have these Formula One pro PlayStation drivers go up against Formula One actual drivers on the PlayStation and they'll wreck them, you know? And I just think that's so wild because like here you're still using your body, know, like you're still using your legs. So it's like, it's not like you're just using,
I mean, this is like you have to learn. Like,
that's why
like,
I was so excited to talk to you about
positioning.
It
doesn't matter in Zwift, and it's like, no, it definitely does. Like, you do have to position. It's just not the same. Like, you don't have like rush for the corner and the bottleneck, and then the sprint out of it. But like, man, if you don't start the climb in the first 10, and you're starting at 50th, like you still have to make up that gap. Like, there's off the start, that's, like the Zwift starts are famous for being like insanely hard, and.
And
you know, like you have to time, like you better be sprinting 4 seconds before the race
off
starts. You better have it wound up because otherwise you're gonna be left behind. There's a lot of things.
There's
like
no neutral
that,
start.
You know,
no
when
neutral
to, when
start.
To sprint, like how to sprint, how much that draft does play an effect on it. I found that like I can do really good like longer power on Zwift, but my shorter end power really falls off, and it's something that I'm gonna have to personally train if I'm gonna keep this lift racing and do good. Like on the road right now, I'm flying, but my like 5 minute power on Zwift is like awful. But then my 20 minute power is incredible. So
dude, that is crazy. I mean, I totally, your power would just be outstanding off Zwift on the road after doing the Zwift efforts.
The intensity, right?
I mean, it's just pure intensity. No, like wind, no motivation. You know what I mean? It's like you can use a lot of kind of distraction.
Sorry, cut out there. Super sorry.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, all right, you guys did Redlands, e-racing.
So we did day one of Redlands, and then day two of Redlands was I had a terrible day, so I was not very pleased with my performance. But Corey again was absolutely phenomenal, and he was just showing the form that he would have had for the year because he was second on a climbing race. We did. The group was like, we had 100 starters, and the group was like 25 after lap one of three. I mean, that was how hard we went every time up this hill. And I, unfortunately, I just wasn't having a great day. So I got dropped on the last lap. I wasn't there to help Corey. And I think if I had been, we would have been in a much better situation. But yeah, so, I mean, we had Redlands, and Corey was second both days. So if there was a GC, which there wasn't, unfortunately, Corey would have won. If there was a GC, he would have won. Yeah, he did.
Why didn't they do a GC?
He was fine. Yeah, I think it's just because we're
still learning it.
You know, we're trying to figure out what
works,
how they want to do it. Yeah, I think so. There's going to be a virtual Gila coming up in the near the end of the month, and that will be. That will be hopefully having a GC. There's going to be a team time trial.
No way.
Yeah. So, you know, it's different. You know, it's great. It's great for us. Cause I now I have a goal to look forward to as far as like, okay, I want to do well at this event. Yeah. So I'm going to prepare for
Gila. Are they, you know, cause one thing about racing is you kind of, what's nice, I guess, is, you know, if I'm going to Gila, it's a climber's race. If I go to Redlands, I'm going to have a sprinter's day this day. Like, are they still trying to keep it along like that, like path and guideline, or are they full on just different Wattopia days every day?
No, they're, well, it's, it, I mean, yeah, we can't put in the actual Gila stages, but there's no, it's got, so, okay. The team time trial is in place of the normal time trial at Gila. And then we have, there's going to be like a circuit race. So that's kind of like, you know, there's like, there's a crit at Gila. There's also that, that inner loop or whatever it's called. And then there's the Gila Monster Day and Mogollon. So there's like a climbing day. So there's going to be one climbing day, one circuit race day, and one team time trial. So I think it's great because I think, again, it's silly to try and make all of this Zwift stuff
replace what
real life is. Cause it's just not. It's not real life.
That's cool to hear you say that. I like that.
It's not actual outside bike racing. It should be its own thing. And yes, we're using it to fill the void. So we can kind of keep it similar and give it like a little bit of a vibe and get the same guys together. But I think it's fun to also have it a little bit different, because if you just try and make it the same thing, it just gets frustrating because it's impossible. So I think you have to adjust your mentality toward like, okay, well, this is what it is. Would we all love to be racing bikes at Gila and at Redlands? Absolutely. Totally. I would.
It's awesome.
You know, I would love to do that, but that's not our life right now. So Zwift has given us an excellent platform to be able to also have live streams of these races for pennies of what it would cost actually to live stream.
That is so true.
So for the team, yeah, we get coverage, we get live coverage. You know, the Zwift community guys, Dave Tolan, I'm blanking on the other guy's name.
Oh, Brad Sonar? They did an
excellent job commentating. No, it wasn't Brad Sonar. It was, I just feel bad. Oh, I'm spacing on his name. But anyway, we, you know, they did an excellent job of like, they're giving our teams like some content to
post.
To to post, and Zwift has been super supportive, and the Project Echelon guy did a great job of like getting everyone together, and with all of that, you know, we can have a bike race, and it's the same guys, and you know, yeah, it's not real Redlands, and it's not real Hilo.
But you're making, but, you know,
it's the best
making lemonade, man. You're making lemonade. You're taking those lemons and you're making lemonade, man. And I dig it. You know, I mean, again, like we kind of talked about it early on at the beginning of this podcast, is we're at opposite sides of, you know, how we do the sport. But I mean, I still agree with like all that. You know, I agree, like Zwift needs to be in place, even though I'm not on Zwift or doing it or racing it. It needs to be there. Like, it's an awesome tool and it's an awesome way to ride too, especially when the weather is bad. And, you know, from what it sounds like, it's forced you, and I think maybe that's why it's motivating, is it sounds like it's just like forced you to relearn. You know, here's something we've done since we were children, you know, racing bikes outside, and know it and love it, and we've learned all these techniques, and now you're having to basically not throw them out the door, but like relearn new ones, you know. And
right, yes,
it's like you said, a refreshing way of looking at bike racing. And bike racing at the end of the day is bike racing. It is what it just is, you know, racing a bike. And so whether you're online, mm-hmm. outside, doing whatever, going down the street with your friends, like that's just bike racing. So I think, and it's funny because it's like, again, I'm not doing that stuff. I'm not like, that's not our vibe, but I have total interest in how, you know, everyone's still thriving and pushing forward in that aspect, you know. And it's cool hearing that they're setting up these, you know, Redlands Zwift race and a Gila Zwift race, and like teams are taking it seriously and doing, you know, like meetings before, and you guys are doing manager meetings and, you know, face Zoom calls to, you know, talk about tactics before and after. You know, I think that's I think it will actually really benefit you guys once you guys are able to connect, because you guys have had a basically learn how to do it, I feel like, in a harder fashion, you know. You're, because the lead out, like I said earlier, is all about, I feel like, the human connection, and like about like knowing each other, knowing how long this person basically can last this, you know. And so like having to learn it without that, it's then when you like go to it, it will be easy, I feel like.
Yeah, it should. Hope. And I think, you know, well, yeah, and we'll have to work out kinks, but in the meantime, we can connect with, you know, not only, you know, our competitors and our team, but, you know, I've ridden with people that I wouldn't ride with because I don't live near them, but hey, let's hop on Zwift and go for like an hour ride. And
really,
I rode with Alexi Vermeulen for like 3 hours not that long ago, and we both had bad weather, and we were just like, hey, are you on Zwift? All right, let's go ride. And we did like FaceTime calls, and we just like talked and Zwifted. And no, it's, you know, the times are different. It's obviously a bummer, I think, but one thing that I think you and I both would agree on is that cycling is in need of a change, and this is like our reset
button. Totally.
And we can explore freely different ways of doing things right now, and it's with at no harm to our own programs. And I think it's just, if you open your mind to these different ideas, then, you know, we can see, obviously some stuff's not going to work, but some stuff is going to come off of this, and we're gonna be like, oh, this we learned.
I love that
during this pandemic, we learned that Zwift is a great way for us to interact with our fans and sponsors.
Dude, I couldn't agree more. I don't, like, me and my wife, we've talked, and like, I don't even view this as like, I mean, yeah, it's a pandemic, but I view it definitely as like an awakening, you know, like for all of us to wake up every day and be like, what am I doing? It's finally like almost this pause on life where we can all take time to look at ourselves, and like, whether that be racing our bikes, whether that be something personal, something bigger, doing pushups every day, whatever. It's really like, you know, evoke this, like these challenges and these things to, you know, inspire people. And people have had to kind of go deeper within themselves to find that remotivation, which I think is a pretty cool time, you know. And you can see people, I feel like it's almost like remotivated us, where people are now, you know, racing on Zwift, you know, something a lot of pros never did, now a lot of pros are doing, you know. And where a lot of teams and pros used to complain about it, and some still are, some choose still not to kind of really support that scene, where you guys are looking at it, and just like what any kind of great program takes, it's about learning with the times and growing with the times, and you know, being current in the situation and the culture and, you know, learning and growing from it. And that's, you know, you guys doing Zwift, not just taking it silly and not just using it as like, you know, content or like getting out there, you know, using it as that free, you know, you said live stream, but actually using it to learn and to continue to dominate. So you guys, when you guys do go out on the road, you can full on race, you know?
Yeah. And it just makes the, you know, the overall program stronger. I mean, when this is over and we can go race bikes outside, I think that Zwift will remain part of something that we do because it's just another chance for us to engage with people. And I think that that's important. I think that's something that hopefully a lot of teams take away from this is this is a platform that, yes, okay, it's not the Tour de France, it's not Redlands, it's not Boise Twilight, but it can be its own thing and it can help the sport be healthier. It's another, people are exercising, it's a place for them to interact with you to interact with them, and it's so convenient. So we're going to continue to, I have a feeling, be on Zwift quite a bit.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, man. How do you, what do you see actually? I mean, with, you said it going live stream, how many people do you think are truly watching it and wanting to move forward? Do you see it as like moving kind of like, you know, you see these E tournaments like for you know, regular gaming systems, and they're massive and you have millions of people tune in to watch them or go to stadiums. They sell out arenas to play these games, you know, like, do you ever think it would get to that point? Like, do you think people like are going to vibe just watching it, you know, like being a fan of just, you said there's a pro Zwift team, like, you know what I mean? Do you think you can actually market from it and move forward as that being their own like way of being a professional cyclist?
Yeah, I think that that's possible. I think, I don't know if it will ever feel the you know, really have the same stature as like as actual pro racing or racing outside will have.
Yeah.
I don't think it will ever quite get to that level, but I mean, I think as far as like, I think it's going to be an excellent way to ID talent.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I think it's going to be a great supplemental tool.
Yeah.
Just because of the ease of broadcast, it's so cheap to do. So I think that I would never say never, that it would never get to that, because sometimes, you know, today's world shocks me in many ways. So I would never say never. But you know, I'll be honest. I understand there was an interview that Sagan said, like, oh, I'm not an e-bike racer, I'm a real bike racer. And that was taken out of context what he said. But what he was saying is, I would not be a professional if it was an e-sport. I'm professional and outdoor cycling. And I definitely can empathize with that. Like, I like riding outside. I mean, it's harder for me to be on Zwift when it's like 80 degrees like it is outside. Mentally, just like getting through that hurdle is difficult. But, you know, like, there's a lot of benefits that can come from it. So I don't necessarily think it will replace anything, but I definitely think it can have its own niche market. And if teams are smart, they'll realize that that's a very convenient way to give their sponsors and investors more exposure and more
return on investment. Which everyone needs to do right now.
So
which everyone, there's no reason right now.
It's a great tool.
Yeah.
And it will continue to be a great tool. And it will continue to be a great tool for me. I mean, I will definitely be using it, like I said, to train. I mean, it's a great training tool. I'm down to continue racing on it. I definitely am motivated to be better at it, and learn those tactics and be able to do better, you know, for me, like better 5-minute power. Like, I'm so goal oriented and driven in that way that I don't like getting whooped on. So I will definitely be working very hard to be better at it. You know, that's how I operate. That's how Corey operates. So we'll continue to be on Zwift. I can guarantee.
How many, how many e-races, because I mean, I know they go on all the time. You said they go on all the time. You can hop on anytime. How many are those you do, those like just kind of local ones, or, you know, not like the Redlands or the Gila, like the super high end ones, but like how many of those, like the e-races are you doing about a week to like kind of keep yourself tuned? Because sometimes, you know, as a racer, it was not uncommon to race, like, you know, race on the weekends, race Wednesday, race Friday, race Saturday, Sunday, you know, or whatever.
I've been supplementing it. Like we've been doing a team like Tuesday night crit series, that Rasan Bahati puts on.
Really? That's sweet.
So that's like the Tuesday night crits, which has been replacing like the Tuesday night crits I would be doing in Santa Rosa. So it kind of works out great. I've been doing that. And then I've been doing like about 2 to 3 a week. When the weather was worse, I was doing like, man, you could hop on and do like 3 races in like 2 hours. And man, like the amount of workout that you'd get from
that. You would do
like,
that?
I did a few times and it was.
Oh my gosh. That's way crazy. I've done 2 races and I know how hard they are and how like just hard mentally, because they're also just like, you just feel like you're just getting your head kicked in, especially from the first one. Cause you don't understand it. And that's also when they were like it was last year when they were just getting it all worked out. Everyone, you had to like take photos of the, of yourself, weighing yourself on the machine or whatever. Yeah. And, so that's crazy.
I mean, those casual races, I'm not sold that everyone's truthful with their weight, but I mean, like I said, I take it for what it is, which in those instances, I will never go as that hard in a race. So, it's excellent training. It keeps me engaged and it is what it is.
Dude, I love it. I love it, man. Damn, this has been such a good episode and talk and catching up. I've been stoked to like really hear and learn about, you know, the E series and the E races, and hear about Legion and hear how you kind of got on and all that. I'm so excited to, you know, move forward and, you know, have future guests on, and, you know, basically shout out to anybody if anybody has any questions or any future topics they would like us to talk about, or any stories they would like us to talk about. We definitely have a lot. We have a lot of, me and Tyler will definitely be putting our heads together thinking about people we want to bring on to talk to. And so, T Will, this was awesome, man. I dug it, man.
Yes.
I loved it, brother. I really loved it.
Well, so. I hope people weren't too bored about my talking about numbers. I tried to keep that to a minimum. I think we have a lot of things. I think
the balance of our podcast.
Yeah. But
like, people, you're going to have episodes where you're talking more about, I mean, this episode was mainly about e-racing. I'm someone who's not into that, but yet I was 100% into that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't, people are going to be stoked on the topics, whether it's e-racing or about gravel riding or whatever, you know? And so I'm just stoked to have that balance and be able to talk about that, where it's both, you know, me and you are able to talk about so many different things. And, cause I mean, we've both been there, you know.
Yeah.
I was just as serious as you with the sport and everything. And so it's kind of, I can talk about that all day. I can talk about doing intervals all day, just like you. So it's going to be super fun, man. I can't wait.
Yeah. I look forward to hearing, I'd love to hear some questions or things that people would like us to hit on. Cause I think we have an interesting perspective we can always get some really good experts to also weigh in on ideas. So hit us with your questions. That'd be great.
And remember, guys, like, this is our first episode. So give us some love, give us some pointers, give us some, you know, some help, how we can continue to grow and be better at this. We understand it's going to take a lot of episodes and a lot of, you know, podcasts to get it really, really dialed. But, you know, me and Tyler are really, like you said, he's goal oriented. We're both super passionate. We're both super passionate about sharing things and our love for cycling and the bike. And so this is something we're super excited about. And again, we just wanted to get started. So we're super stoked for you guys, everyone who listened, and tune in for next time.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Bye.